Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So if you missed last week, hopefully you're following us on Facebook or Instagram as well. There's an amazing video. We'll play it again next week. Next week is Baptism Sunday. But the bottom line is that in the month of October, we will be moving from this location to David E. Robinson Elementary School. That's not too far from here. The reason being, I know it didn't look like it today because the kids didn't feel like driving to church today. You know, I keep joking, right? But last week, if you were here last week, it was full up here. And if it's full up here, that means it's full back there in the different Purpose Kids areas, which means it's just too crowded. And so really the reason why we are transitioning to a new location is so that our children can grow, our families to grow, and then we can grow as a church as well. So a part of that, we mentioned a little bit last week, is there is, because we're moving to a new location, there's more things that we need to get. And so we're inviting you, we don't use the word members here at Purpose Church, we say the word partners. So we're inviting you to partner with us. Whatever God lays upon your heart, you'll see the different ways that you're able to give towards what we're calling the Grow campaign, so that as we transition to David E. Robinson Elementary School, we can keep doing the things that God has called us to do. Amen? And then if you're giving as well, just whether it's your tithes or your offering as well, always like to come up here and just say a prayer. Whether you are giving while you're here in service today or whenever you decide to give, asking God's blessings upon whatever it is you're giving. So if you'll join me in a brief word of prayer. God, we thank you, God. Your word even says that you give seed to the sower and bread for eating. And so, Father, I do ask, God, that you will open up doors that need to be open. If there's persons that's looking for employment, different employment, increase as well, I pray that you will be the one to bless them with it. Father, I pray, God, even your blessings upon all of us that will be giving, God, that, God, your word even says that as we give, it will be giving back to us, God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, will persons give into our bosom. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to give into your kingdom and for the furtherance of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The other thing, I don't know if you guys knew this, but before we talk about baptism, during this time of the year, I know today it may not feel like it, but a lot of people begin to transition back to church. So I don't know if you realize that or not. But studies show that around the fall season, right, you'd have made it through the summertime and going to the beach and wherever it is, going on cruises and all that. The kids are back in school and you're like, you know, and for some that are teachers in the school, you know, as well, you're kind of like, oh, you're trying to settle down. But during the fall season or during September, October, a lot of people start coming back to church. And the reason why I say that is invite somebody to church. Amen. I know some people are like, huh? I'm an introvert. Invite somebody to church and walk with them. If it seems as if they have questions about God, don't be afraid. You don't have to be an expert to talk to somebody about God. And you sure enough don't have to be a preacher to talk to somebody about God. A lot of times people will say, man, this person needs Jesus. I'm going to bring them to church. That's cool. Do you realize you can lead them to Jesus as well? And if you have questions about that, like how do I lead someone to Jesus Christ and to a relationship, please like come and ask me and everything. We're partners in this. But I'm asking that during the month of September, so we're now in September, invite somebody to church. If you just want to, you know, some people, how many people used to give people tracts? We don't do that no more. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all might be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So there would be these little tracts that you would give somebody, or if you were afraid to give it to them, you would put it on their desk, right? And they would say something like, God loves you, or, you know, you need Jesus and all of that. So if you're that type of person that's kind of like, you know, like, I don't really want to invite them, but what I'm going to do is just, like, put this on their windowsill. And God will give you the confidence. The bottom line of what I'm saying is that if you have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, don't keep it to yourself. Like, other people need to know. And here's the other thing, and I think I said this last week. Everybody is not going to church. So the thought that people are going to church, it's not the case, y'all. And there are some people where their parents didn't go to church. For whatever reason, their parents stopped going to church. So there's this word that we use that's called nuns, which means that they don't go to church at all. They don't know much about God at all. So if we think that, you know, United States of America is, you know, a land of the free, so we can stand on the corners and preach Jesus without somebody arresting us or stoning us. Yes, that's the case. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to church. They're not. And so many of the people that we're interacting with in our communities and on our jobs, they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God has given unto us what's called the ministry of reconciliation. And that means that God, through us, is crying out to others that they may be reconnected to him. And so if you guys can join me in saying this, if you can say, don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep the gospel to yourself. Whatever way God lays upon your heart to share the message of the gospel that God loves you and that he sent his son to die for your sins, that you may have a relationship with him. However that flows out of you at wherever stage you're at in life right now, don't keep it to yourself. People need to know about the true and living God. Amen? It's real. It is real. The other thing is, and I praise God for you guys here today with us. I believe that natural seasons are produced because of something happening spiritually. So if you guys, y'all see how it feels right now, don't it feel like, if they play some soft music, you probably won't go to sleep, right? It feels like that. And for some, you may just be tired. Even though I feel right, low-key as well, I feel real mellow right now, you know? but I believe that God is saying to us, don't fall asleep. And that's more than just like in the church service, right? Like, don't fall asleep. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That natural things are a manifestation of something that's happening spiritually. So that means that, and I know it's a dreary day outside, but it's more than that. And if we don't stay awake and keep doing the things we know to do, we will fall asleep spiritually. And one of the greatest tactics of the enemy, maybe two of the greatest tactics of the enemy, one is, it's cool. Just sit back, fold your hands. There's a scripture that deals with that. It's a little nodding of the head, right? Come on, yeah. And you, when you wake up like Samson, your enemy is right upon you. And your hands are bound, your feet is bound, right? And if you know, I'm talking about Samson and Delilah. And so, just I'm putting that out there before we get into the message today, is that, you know, it feels nice and mellow. I feel like we should get some tea and just kind of like relax and everything. My stress level went down because the Eagles won and everything, you know, like they made it through it. So I'm feeling good. I ain't got to go home and be stressed about anything and all that kind of stuff. And it's coming off a very busy week, but I'm telling y'all, and I just want y'all to just pause for a moment. Do y'all feel that? And so what God is saying to us is, you know, okay, you know, but don't allow your spirit to go to sleep. So remember, as we were teaching this, is that when God made us, he made us after in his image and after his likeness. So within, underneath of all of this, we are spirit. We are in a physical body, and we have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. And so what we've been talking about is this war that goes on where God, I'm a switch sides. I'm always talking about God's on this side and the flesh on this side. Y'all be like, why we always got to be with flesh, right? God on this side, the Holy Spirit, right? So it feels funny, you know, but because I guess I'm so whatever that's called. But God's on this side. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is on the inside of you and is saying, let's just say he's saying the message that I'm saying to you today. Hey, don't fall asleep. And our flesh is on this side, right? Our physical body that might be tired and our minds and all that. It's saying, it's all right. It's okay. I just want to take a little nap spiritually. I'm just going to skip church, not y'all because you're here, right? Or whatever the case is. And God right now, like, so this is real moment right now. God is saying, okay, it's cool for you to take a little break, but don't fall asleep spiritually. And it is so easy to do to allow our flesh to dictate to us what we're supposed to be doing spiritually. So what God is saying is don't let our mind and our emotions, come on, y'all know our emotions can be like, wah! Sometimes it's like, I don't like people today and all that kind of stuff, right? Every time it rains, I feel a certain type of, you know, like all those different, think about it. Like somebody will say, when it rained, oh, it must be about to rain because I'm feeling some kind of, all that is this. It's real. Like if your knees start hurting, all that is real. But what God is saying, don't let those conditions naturally dictate or override what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to do. Are y'all with me? Because in these moments, like today, this is such a good teaching example. Where the weather is dreary, it is a good time for me to train my flesh that regardless of how I feel, we're going to do what God wants us to do. It's in these moments when we're feeling like, you ever just feel irritated? Yeah. Like, just like, ugh. And you try to like go back and figure out what's causing me to feel irritated, but you just feel it. And it's real. And you try to shake it off. You try to do the stuff that you know to do, and it just won't leave you. You just feel like, eh, you know? Well, that's real. And sometimes some of us deep and spiritual people would say, I bind up this spirit of irritation off me right now in Jesus' name. It may work, right? It may not, because who I got to deal with is me. And maybe it's not the devil, it's not a demon, maybe it's not an evil spirit, maybe it's not an irritating spirit. What if it's just my flesh? What if it's just my flesh that's just like, I'm fed up with whatever is going on and I just don't feel like dealing with nobody or nothing today? Because we get in those funks. But what I'm saying is, even in that funk, don't stop doing spiritual things. You may read the Bible. And because you're feeling that way, you might be like, I'm not getting it. Keep reading. You know why? Because your spirit is still getting it. And your mind is still receiving it. So it's not based upon how you feel that you do spiritual things. You do spiritual things because you are a spiritual person. You are a child of God. So it's not like, well, I don't feel like praying today because I don't feel like praying. You are a child of God, so pray. Whether you feel like it or not, whether it feels like God is close or far, don't stop. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? This is a good day because I know we might all be feeling it right now. Like, man, you know, like, you know, it's cool and everything. But God is saying, and I praise God for you that's here. God is saying, regardless of how the conditions are, regardless of how you're feeling, don't stop doing God things. Amen? And regardless of how you feel when you start doing God things, don't stop. Because the reality is, it's not about feelings. Sometimes we do, like I feel the presence of God, or I feel that God is with me. I feel God's peace or his comfort. I'm feeling encouraged today. But sometimes your flesh is just stubborn, but you still have to do, read the Bible, pray, worship. Amen? Because if not careful, if you follow, what side is the flesh? I don't forgot. We on this? Okay. So if not careful, listen to this. This is, if not careful, if you, like God is saying, hey, read your Bible. You say, I don't feel like it, okay? And it's not that you will distance yourself from God, because God is, if you're a believer, he's within you. But his presence and his influence upon you can feel as if it's becoming distant. Why? Because he keeps telling me to do something, and I'm constantly saying, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Now, sometimes this is where spiritual warfare comes in. Because I was with God, but my flesh started saying, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And standing over here might be the enemy saying, come on. Come on, my dear child that you used to be, because you're not my child no longer, because you're a child of God. But come on back home. And we find ourselves dancing right back into the arms of the one that God delivered us from. But God is over here, even though he's very present, is saying, come on back home. And listen, and he begins to send people and situations to get us to do this. Repent. Right? To turn from that and go back to God. But now I'm all the way over here. And God is saying, come on back home. But how did I get there? When God was saying to me, read your Bible. It ain't going to make a difference. Pray. Oh, I tried that. Go to church. Man, it's taking up too much of my day. And all of the excuses that we will say, we just moving back. And that many times we feel like it's the enemy pulling us back. But most of the time, if God was able to pull back the curtains and show us what's happening, it's us. I was talking to somebody, I was like, is that moonwalking? The Michael Jackson thing, you know, you're kind of like, Then some of us just like, forget the moonwalk, I'm just going to go right into. But then that's the reason why we have to repent. Because what we've done is turned our back to the things of God. Amen? So, my prayer is that if we, because I was feeling it too today, kind of like, what is wrong with me? Like, why do I just kind of feel like, you know? And we can say, oh, it's because, hey, even though it may be because those things, don't just give in to that. That's the message. Don't just give in. Don't just say, you know, it's because such and such. So spiritually, you should be standing up. But our flesh say, oh, it's just because. And what we do, it's almost like somebody standing up and you tell them, sit down. And sometimes our flesh is telling us spiritually, sit down, you good? When it should be our spirit telling our flesh, you better get up. And so it's like when the praise team is singing and all of that, and they're like, come on, let's give God praise, or whoever the doing's prayer, come on up. And y'all just be like, you know, like, I don't really feel like it. Like, you know. But this setting called church is a good place to, it's real. So when I use the word practice, I'm not talking about like faking it, but it's a good way to exercise our faith. It is a good place to say, there's no distractions to set my mind, right? That may bring thoughts in and out. So as I'm hearing the word, my mind keeps shifting. But what I'm doing is as I'm singing and hearing the word, I keep bringing my thoughts captive. I keep telling my mind, come back. And church is a good place for that. Especially when you got somebody, you don't know if I'm going to come walk down the aisle and be right in your face or not, right? That was a joke. I don't come. Victoria, I don't come all the way back there, right? Yeah, I usually stop midway. But church is a good place, because if what I'm saying about bringing your flesh in line with God's spirit is not something you're used to doing, here is a good time to practice that. So like as I'm talking right now, if your mind is wandering, bring it back. And sometimes this is the reason why a lot of people would be thinking, like when you go to church, why do people say things like, amen, or I heard somebody say, mm-hmm, or yes, and all that. You know why? It's called participation sometimes. And what it is doing is bringing my mind back to where it needs to be. Because right now, as I'm speaking, in this moment, somebody's mind is somewhere else. Is it true? Don't raise your hand, right? When I'm talking, sometimes my mind goes somewhere, you know, and it's like, God, what was it, you know? And I have to be like, okay, keep going. So this is a good place to say, mind, for this time I'm in church, we are going to discipline ourselves to focus on God, God's word, praising God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God's people. Because if I come in here, and this is if this is the only time you are spending set aside time with God, and you really not even here mentally, that's a scary place. And that is the reason why we find people who are Christians, but they're not walking like they are Christians. And I can come out of church and not change. Why? Because I was physically there, but mentally I was somewhere else. So if you ask me, how was your weekend? Oh, I went to church, but I still got the same attitude that I had on Friday. So now the unbeliever says, well, what's the difference between you and me? If you spent time in church, which is supposed to help change you, and you come back with the same attitude, what's the difference? We could have hung out at the bar together. But you said you couldn't go to the bar because you was going to church. But you still the same nasty person. And sometimes you're nastier than me. So what God is saying, use this time. I know I got your attention now, right? Use this time to set aside all of you, spirit, soul, and body, to say, God, I'm focused on you. And you know what? Your flesh is going to sit down. It was during the times Tremaine and I, we would be in a church service and we would get happy, and our little kids, you can feel it's almost like they wanted to tell us to sit down, because we'd be like, thank you, Lord, thank you. Almost as if we were embarrassing them. But sometimes we go through that war within ourselves. It's as if who I am spiritually, you know, like the part that really loves God and is on fire for God and always want to do things for God, and just would, if I really could, I would just be on fire for God. But then there's a part of us that's just kind of like, sit down. Like, you doing too much. I'm talking about us, within us. Sometimes when praise and worship is going on, within us wants to raise a little hand. But then there's a part of us that's like, bring the hand on down. What's wrong with you? Sometimes within us, there's a part of us where tears wants to come down. And then there's this part of us that says, if you start crying, they're going to think something wrong with you. Can I say this? Hey, can we just make this clear thing? Something's wrong with all of us. So if I'm crying, you're right. Something wrong with me. And that's the reason why I need God. That's the reason why I'm here. That's the reason why I'm living this life for Him. Because something's wrong with me. I don't have it all together. And that's the reason why Jesus died. Because God knew I wouldn't have it all together. And I was going to need someone to make up the difference for me. It does not give me an excuse to live my life any old type of way. But listen, if one day in this service, y'all see me come to the altar and pouring out my eyes and just crying before the Lord, And if it comes to your mind, he must be really going through. You are correct. Because none of us are escaped from challenges, situations, circumstances, fights. None of us. And that's why we're here. So if we come here and we don't take advantage of, I can just be me. I can just be me in this place. I know I can be me before God. But the next step is, can I just be me in front of my brothers and sisters? I have nothing to hide. I need Jesus. And I think when we get to that point of just like, you know what? Without him, and it's not just a cliche, I would be nothing. It's real. If it wasn't for God, where would we be? Mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, in our relationships, where would I be if it wasn't for God? And you know what? And that's one of the reasons why spending time with God is so important, because I believe every once in a while, as we spend time reading his Bible or in prayer or in praise or worship or something like, or even fellowshipping, every once in a while, God will remind us of where he has brought us from. I think he will show us, if it wasn't for him that reached down and snatched us, many of us would be dead and gone before we received Jesus Christ. And that means we would have been on a pathway to eternal separation from God, to hell. Amen? Recount the ways of how great God has been. Man. And if that doesn't get you, your spirit in a place where it takes charge and your flesh says, I guess we going. And sometimes, have you ever been in a church service or somewhere and you start crying and you even ask yourself, why are you crying? You know, the part of you that's asking that question, it's your mind that doesn't understand that it might be God's presence in this place, or that spiritually something is happening, but your mind has not caught up to it yet. But every time we silence that, every time we suck that back up, and I'm not saying you guys got to be crying and all that kind of, but what I'm saying is like, just release yourself and be free in a moment with God. But every time you restrict yourself, you're restricting all of you. And so in those moments when you need the confidence to be able to do what it is that God wants you to do, you're not used to doing it because you keep pulling yourself back. When God, when you don't know, if you know that you are spending time with God and you're sensing kind of like God moving you, but you're like, I don't know what I'm feeling. Just don't be afraid. God's got you. And if you have questions about what's going on, then this is the reason why you have a church and elders and pastors that can talk to you about these experiences. Amen. And there are so many people in the Bible that have gone down this path. Could you imagine how Moses felt? A burning bush, but that did not consume? And the voice of God coming from that? And he just, years ago, killed somebody? And God is saying, go back? Come on. Or Abraham or Joseph being sold by his brothers into slavery? But the scripture keeps saying, but God was with him. And so there's all these examples in the Bible to encourage us along this journey. Amen? Praise God. Yeah. And the reason why I'm saying that is because when I first got up here, I was like, yeah, I'm talking about me as well. We all in a different place right now. I can feel it. But the reason why I'm saying praise God, it feels as if, like our spirit is like, yay, I'm able to be back in the front again. Or in our flesh is like, all right, this kind of sort of making sense. All right, I think we'll go with what God is leading us to do. But that's the reason why we have to have renewal of the mind. Because you can be a spiritual, like, woohoo, giant on the inside, but your mind will restrict you. And you can feel like God wants you to do all this stuff, but your mind will talk you out of it. So if you're not renewing your mind through the reading of the word, listening to the word, preaching, you can preach the word yourself to yourself. If your mind is not being renewed to connect with what you are sensing God saying, I'm telling you, y'all know this, our flesh is strong. And it will literally tell us, shh. It will tell us, don't do that. And we can just came, Moses came down from the mountain. God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. And Moses comes down. He like, what is that sound? Maybe it's them down there worshiping God. And he gets close, and the people are down there worshiping idols. What did Moses do? He threw them. So if Moses was in the presence of God, the glory of God was upon him. But when he came down, he allowed his flesh to be so upset that he threw the tablets. I'm just using as an example that our flesh is strong, y'all. And then God had to give him another set. So what I'm saying is that, look, if you're going to throw the tablets, just go back to God, get another piece. I'm sorry, Lord. Just can you give me another set of those? So this is not about living our lives perfect. There will be moments that my mind, like the way I think, the way I feel, my desires, is just going to be like, we're going this way, and we're going to say, yup, all right, we're going to go that way. But listen, I love the fact that we can do what? Repent. We can ask God, please forgive me. I know I shouldn't have, listened to you, God. God, I'm sorry. And the Bible says that he is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So just get back in the game. Amen. Don't it sound so simple? But when you're in the fight, you're like, oh. All right, let me just share a little bit. I'm going to flick through these slides. I felt like God shared some things real quickly. Joelle, can you see if the slides can move forward? I'm going to try to. All right, so I'm going to flick through the slides. So if you don't want to look at it because you're about to see it go, I'm trying to get somewhere. Maybe I'm going to flick through it, maybe not. Joelle might need your help. Can you go to, this is the good thing, having your son sitting over there. Can we give Joel a round of applause? I don't know if he's. Can you go where it says scriptures, Matthew 14, 22 through 33? So I just want to share a little bit of this before we go. Go Matthew 14, 22 through 33. It's almost all the way at the end. Scriptures. So I always have this thing where if we're having a conversation, that's what it feels like, we're having a conversation, right? But not to leave here without, looking at scriptures. So this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. This is Peter walking on the water. How many people have heard this story of Peter walking on the water and all that kind of stuff? But to set this up, just prior to this is the feeding of the 5,000, right? So you're familiar with that story, where Jesus takes the bread and the fish and he multiplies it. 5,000 men plus women and children are fed. The disciples are front row to this. In fact, they are the ones distributing this food. At the end of it, there's even food that's left over. So if you're not familiar with that, read Matthew 14. So the reason why I'm doing that is the disciples just experienced Jesus doing a miracle. Like, there's no way that over 5,000 people should have been fed by just a little bit of food that the young boy brought. So this is where we meet them in Matthew 14, 22. So it says this. Immediately, Jesus, directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he sent the crowds away. Verse 23. After he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Y'all know what I'm about to say in this part right here. If Jesus had to go by himself and pray, we do too. Just in case you never heard in your entire life somebody say that, you just heard it. If the Son of the living God, Jesus, God in the flesh, had to go spend time with God to pray by himself, we do too. Amen? So that's for all of us that feel like we need a prayer partner all the time, that feel like we can't pray by ourselves. If Jesus needed to spend time with God by himself, we do too. And he was there for a long time. But the boat that the disciples was in by this time was already a long distance from land. The boat was tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. So just think about this. Take this personal. Jesus sends the disciples on a journey, and he says, I'm gonna meet y'all on the other side. Now, here's my question. Did Jesus know that they were going to run into a storm? What y'all think? Yeah. We can do crowd participation, right? So I don't know if Jesus could see them on the mountain. I don't know if he was doing this. This is what we do as parents at times. We're praying for our children. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will deliver them. Okay, they ain't delivered yet. And I pray, God, that you will move in that relationship that they're in. I pray that you will break those bonds. Okay, they still in, you know. I don't know if that was Jesus or not, or if he was straight up spending time with God. Like, if he was looking at the disciples as they were going across the Sea of Galilee. But here's a beautiful thing, and I don't know how many people feel this way in your life, but it says the boat by this time was already a long distance from the land. Have you ever felt like this? And I pray if you don't, that you do at some point, that you're too far away from like who you used to be, but you're not quite where you want to be, and you're kind of in this place, but you're not trying to go back. So the only way is forward. Anybody been there? You there right now? And I pray if you're never, that you are so far away from your old ways that you're like, I can't. It's not that every once in a while it don't come to tempt me, but I can't, because that would be more work. And I ain't trying to do that. So either I'm a drown here or I'm a keep going. But there's a song that talks about this. But the master of the sea will not allow you to drown. So that's for anyone, you're in this middle place and you're just like, I should have just stayed back there. Now that I've said yes to God, I feel lost. I don't know what direction my boat is in right now, because the winds and the waves, they keep hitting me. Am I the right direction? And God is saying to you, you are. You can't even see the shore because the storm is so bad. But God sees you. Listen to this. God knows exactly where you are. This is for someone right now. You may feel lost. God knows exactly where you are. And you know what? I would rather for God to know where I am than for me to have it all figured out. Because if he can see me, he can see all of it. He can see down the line, like, you're going to make it, because if you can just keep going, the storm will pass. But sometimes we're in the midst of it. We can't, because our boat, our safe place, is being beat and tossed by the winds. And it says that the wind is against me. Oh, come on. You know what that means? That means that even when I can see where I'm going, it's still like a restriction. it still feels like opposition. And so for anybody that's in that place, just breathe. God's got you. Amen? He sees where you are. And here's the confidence that we know. I'm going to kind of skip forward a little bit. Here's the confidence that we know that God's got you. It says, and in the fourth watch, about 3 a.m. or 6 a.m., Jesus came to them. I'm trying not to get excited. That's why I keep skipping over here. Jesus came to them. How did Jesus know where they were? There's a storm going on, y'all. Did Jesus have a boat? Right? Y'all that know the story, he didn't have a boat. So this is the reason why I'm saying wherever you are in your life, God knows exactly where you are. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows where you are in mentally. And he knows where you are physically. He knows where you are financially. He knows where you are in your relationships. God's got you. And you may be feeling a little discombobulated, but he's not. The storm is not confusing Jesus as he comes out. So it says that Jesus, just going to mess up, Jesus is rowing his boat on the sea. It don't say that. Jesus got a speedboat. Nope. He came walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. But the only reason why he is doing this is because he has to get to his disciples. I don't believe, if you guys can hear this, I don't believe that God does supernatural things just to flex his muscles. He does it because he's going after somebody. He's breaking natural conditions to get to his disciples. And what does that say? God will do and move whatever needs to get to you. So stop panicking. He's got you. Stop running. Stop saying, I might as well just die right here. Stop. It ain't your time. And if we can just, and this is the hardest thing in the midst of a storm, to try to keep your eyes and remember what God said. I can guarantee you, in this moment, they are not thinking about the miracle of 5,000 people being fed, over 5,000 people being fed. They are worried like we are sometimes. How am I going to pay that bill? Is my kids going to be all right? Is my marriage going to be all right? Are they going to lay me off? Is my body going to be okay? In the midst of all of that, even though just last week we saw God do something amazing. But here we are. If this was our boat, we're in a boat, y'all. And this boat is being tossed and being beat by the winds. But God is saying to all of us individually, I know where you are. And I'm coming to right where you are. I am walking on the sea for you. I won't let you drown. I love that. Like even he making a sound, he's like, yeah. He probably wasn't, but when he grew up, that's what we're going to say he did. Yes. Final things. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. And so sometimes they had just spent all day with Jesus, but now they cannot recognize him. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you know God, but because of what you're going through, it's like I can't recognize God in this situation? Because the storm is raging and my eyes are a little distorted. Like I just spent all day with God in prayer, or just spent an hour in church. But now I'm driving home and I'm in the midst of a storm. I pray that the rain stops, right? But it feels as if I can't feel God and I can't see God the way that I used to. Don't give up. I can't feel God the way that I used to. Okay. Just a few moments ago, we all was feeling some kind of way. So our flesh will do that. but God is still there. So they are so caught up in the midst of their storm that when they're looking out, they don't know that it's Jesus coming to them. They think it is some type of ghost, right? And not only do they do that, they are so afraid that they scream out in fear. And this is the example I think I was sharing last week of the person that can't swim, and you're trying to help them, and they're like, or the baby that's crying because they're teething and you're trying to calm them down, or the child that had a nightmare and you're saying, hey, I'm here, but they're not hearing you because they're so frantic. And we get that way. God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I should just, and God is saying, I'm right here. You can't see me. I'm right here. Amen. Come on, anybody ever feel like that? Whew. Verse 27, and this is where we'll stop it. It's as if, and I know Jesus was still a distance from the boat, but it's as if Jesus comes up, come up to Tremaine, and it's like he sees how much fear they're in. And even though he's speaking from a distance, but it's like he comes and he's like, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And I love these moments when Jesus, he has to snap us out of it. Where we are so in ourselves that you don't want to hear nothing. You ever been there? You don't hear nothing. Don't talk to me about God and Jesus. And don't dare talk to me about the Holy Spirit. But we get to that point. Why? Because we're in a storm and we're just like, I don't know what's going on. And God is a very present help to us. And he had, and I love this. When it says immediately, it's as if Jesus realized that if I let them stay in this state, they're going to be in trouble. If I let them stay in this state, they're going to do something to make their own boat sink. Do you realize that? That sometimes there can be a storm, and because we are not dependent upon God, we cause, there's a word I'm thinking of, we cause it to happen. It's as if we cause the catastrophe ourselves because we're not keeping our eyes on God. And so God has to come and immediately says, hey, like, snap out of it. It's me. I am. Translation, another translation says that. I am. And then he says to them, now that you see me, do not be afraid. But he had to tell them, get your courage back. Get your boldness back. Get your flesh back in order. That's really what he's saying. Grab the part of you that keeps saying, get it back. Look at me. It is I. Now that you see me, don't be afraid. And after this, if you guys keep reading, I'm joking. Peter fixes his tie and says, Lord, I know you just said it's you, but if it is you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, using my own words, come on. Take courage because you lost it. That's what he's saying to them. Take courage. It is I. Now that we're back on the same page, don't be afraid. Are y'all following that? But the take courage part, that we got to do that. We've got to do that. It's a decision that we make in and of ourselves. And when we do that, then we recognize that was Jesus walking on the water all along, y'all. And then somebody said, oh, I knew that was him. What's wrong with you? I knew that was him. So here's our encouragement today. Praise God. Wherever you are in your life, maybe you're not in a raging storm. Maybe think you're just coasting along. Keep receiving what God is saying. So in those moments when the waves try to lull you to sleep, you say, nope, sorry. I might take a nap, but not right now. I got to read my Bible. Then I'm going to take a nap. Because I might wake up from my nap, like me, real grumpy. I don't know what's wrong with that. I wake up from a nap and I'm just like mad. And so for me, it may be read first, then take a nap. Amen? Whatever it is practical for you. So I feel like God shared a lot of different things in here today. This one of those messages of like, just go back and listen to it. Because if you ask me what I shared in the beginning, I'd be like, it was some stuff about like your spirit and your flesh and all of that. But if there's nothing else, this final verse here that you can see on the screen, just picture this motion. If I lost my confidence, my boldness in Jesus Christ, take, get it back. And then see God wherever you are. And with God, I'm not afraid.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.